This is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I'm here with Governor Paul LePage. This is our first interview with Governor LePage since he's actually been governor. Governor LePage, how are you? Good.
It's great to see you again.
You too. I've been pretty proud of you. You've been doing far better than I thought you'd be able to.
We're doing what we were told by the people of Maine to do, and so, you know, we campaigned hard on issues, and Maine people elected us to come here and do the things we said we'd do.
So, what would you like to talk about today? What's going on that we need to know about Northern Maine?
Well, the first session was a reasonably good session. I mean, we got a lot of good things done, but the big issues were kicked down the road. The welfare issue, we had some very minor successes. And as you see from what's going on upstairs right now, is they didn't fix the problem, and the problem's back, and it's going to be coming back every year until we fix it. And so I've sort of put together a proposal so that they can't escape but dealing with it, because we're running out of money.
Yeah.
And I think it's unconscionable for me to believe that a legislature will kick it down the road again and let people just go out on the street.
Do they understand that, Governor, or do they think that's a political move?
I don't know what they're thinking. I hope that they take it seriously, because I do not play games. This is a serious problem. We set out to see what we could afford. So we went out and said, nursing homes are number one. All the people in nursing homes. Number two is all people in institutions with mental illness. Then it's assisted living, and that's where we ran out of money. I mean, there's not a lot of money out there. And they seem to think that we maneuvered this. If they look behind the assisted living, it's everything else. So this is a pretty serious problem that's been going on for 10 years. So they really need to fix it.
Well, I mean, I did, during the campaign, I did a lot of interviews with all of the candidates. And I mean, I had, from all different parties, they were saying, this is going to be a major problem, you know? So it's, then I read about it in the paper, and it looks like everybody, well, he's just being political. Yeah. And I'm thinking, what part of we're broke is it that's so confusing?
What planet are you from? It's a situation that we asked them to fix it in February, and we put it in there. Back in February, in the original budget, the assisted living PNMIs were not affected because we took other things to pay for it. But they took all those things and put them back in. So now we've gone 6 months and we've paid all the things that they've asked us to pay, and we're following their instructions, and now we're running out of business, out of money again. And the problem now is the PNMIs are being affected. Now, the issue can be resolved. There are ways to resolve it. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to work and resolve the problem, but they have to be willing to come down and sit down and talk about it. The issues are, we need, the administration needs to have a little bit more oversight with the Maine State Housing, Efficiency Maine, and some of the quasi-governmental agencies, so that we can work together. Right now, they're in a world of their own, and we have no authority or responsibility, and we can't get them to become part of the solution. So we need to restructure not only welfare, but we need to restructure how we do business in the state of Maine.
And do you hold out hope that that's going to happen? I mean, you can have a controlled crash, or you can have a head-on collision. One or the other is bound to happen, right?
Oh, yeah. If they absolutely, they can say all they want. They can ignore the fact that we tried to fix it in February, but at the end of the day, this is a problem that needs to be addressed, and it will be addressed, because we're not putting people out on the streets, and they can do all the political rhetoric they want, but at the end of the day, we're going to keep people in the homes, and we're going to provide medical assistance to the most vulnerable, and they're just going to have to deal with it.
Okay. You're number two? Do you have anything else going on? Number two priorities?
Beyond this, the agenda for the second year biennium is going to be the three E's: energy, education, and economy. I put energy number one because we have been told time and again over the last couple of years, both while we were campaigning and now that I'm here as governor, that our energy costs are some of the highest in the country. We pay 42% above the national average, and unless we get those costs down, the cost of energy down, we are not competitive on a global basis and therefore will not attract good
jobs. Can we do that as a state? I mean, is there a way to...
There's many, many ways of doing it. The technologies are out there. But there's a group out there that believes that all the renewables are the answer. Well, that's how we got to where we are at being 42% above the national average. We need to take the best technologies that are available today to drive the cost of energy down, not up. And there's a petition movement on right now, collect signatures to put a referendum question on the ballot that says to get clean energy. Well, I agree with that. But there are clean energies that we can get for a much cheaper price. For instance, in the state of Maine, 100 megawatts of hydropower is considered renewable clean energy. 200 megawatts of electricity is not considered renewable and clean energy.
Really?
Yes. And the reason that's that way is special interest groups have passed a law that says we don't want cheap energy from Canada. We want wind power, solar power that is generated and made here. Well, that's fine and dandy, but it's subsidized by,
right,
guess who?
Right.
People who pay electricity.
Me.
Bills. Yes.
Okay, education?
Education needs a complete overhaul. And I'm not pinning the state of Maine against the country. Basically, on a world scale, the United States of America has dropped in their quality of education from K through 12, from first in the world down to around 27th. So we need to look at how we're doing it. And so we're focusing in on getting more effective teachers in the classroom. You know, everybody's been saying for a dozen years that smaller classes is the answer. Well, we're being shown now through actual data and actual performance of school systems in other countries that it's not the smaller class size that makes a difference. It's an effective teacher. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to focus on effective teachers. We're going to try to work on K through 12 so that we remove and eliminate remedial work that kids have to do once they leave high school and get a job, or they go on to college, or they go on to the university system. And so we're going to work on the curriculum. But most importantly, we're going to bring technical and vocational education to the forefront of the schools. For the last 20 years, we throw them in the back of the school and we say, oh, shame on you if you go to a tech school. Well, quite frankly, most of the good jobs of the 21st century, the $25 and $30 an hour jobs,
right,
are IT people, drafting, welders, plumbers,
mechanics.
Electricians, mechanics.
Yep.
And particularly mechanics now, you have to be an IT genius almost to be able to fix a car because everything's computerized.
I know.
So we need to do a much, much better job preparing our kids.
And are you working on that yet, or...
Well,
I mean, I know you are. It's the legislature. Has that discussion?
The legislature will not see it until they fix welfare.
Okay.
And they need to fix welfare.
So when you're talking about...
if they don't fix welfare...
Nothing else matters.
Well, we can't do what we want to do in education.
Right.
And we can't
when you're giving me these priorities, you're doing one and then the next one and the next one. Is that correct? So you work on energy and then you work on education and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, in February we tried to do it the other way. We gave them the full budget, and we sent them a budget, and we did a whole lot of things together, but it was a little too much for them. They couldn't
get
it done.
It.
And they cut and they just threw things around. And by the end of the day, we had beef stew, and we didn't have the state prioritized properly.
Right. Okay. And finally, the economy.
The economy. In order for us to move the economy forward, and this is so important, a governor cannot create jobs.
Right.
What a governor can do is create an environment. And I'm pleased to say that the regulatory environment is starting to show signs of improving. In other words, we're getting a lot of comments that there's a lot more friendlier and a lot quicker response from state government than in the past. We're finding that we are willing to find solutions to problem rather than simply saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So that's moving forward. I think we need to, if we're going to fix the economy, we need help on the energy side. We need to be able to lower the cost of energy.
So that factories and so forth can come in and actually afford it, you mean?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So if we lower the cost of energy, then we are lowering the cost of doing business in Maine. And that's so critical to have job creators and capital come to Maine and invest in Maine. And then, of course, education is critical for the long term for any economy to have a prepared workforce. And that's very, very critical. So we're working with all the things that are necessary to create a better economy.
So those are interlocking pieces as opposed to whole separate issues.
They're
intersect.
They're all one.
Okay.
And, for instance, we have this year, the unemployment rate in Maine has gone from 7.6% a year ago to 7%. So we are progressing, but much slower than I'd like to see it progress.
Now, I read somewhere that up in Millinocket, which is where I live, we're up at 17%. And that's with the new mills. So, I mean, I know how important that is,
You were in the 20s, and we've got it down to 17. And I will say this, K Street Capital, the investors in the mill, have some very good plans for the long haul, both for Millinocket and East Millinocket, and we're working with them now to try to get natural gas to Millinocket.
That'd be great.
So that not only will it benefit the mills, but benefit
the residents.
The residents of the communities.
Wonderful. So is there anything else we need to watch for, after you take care of all of this?
Yeah, there's one more issue this year that we're going to work very, very hard on is domestic violence. Last year was not, 2011 was not a good year for the state of Maine. We lost too many children and too many wives or mothers at the hand of some abusers. And domestic violence has become much more than just a battering situation. It's become a homicide issue in Maine. And we're going to get up and we're going to encourage men to stand up, speak out, and stamp out domestic violence. It's just absolutely incredible that a society that we have, with the lovely quality of life we enjoy in Maine, that we have people that still want to go around battering their family members.
So, just in closing, do you have anything specific for Northern Maine, any sort of message or thing that they should know?
Well, I will say this. There's a lot of things going on in Northern Maine, Aroostook County in particular. We're going to try to connect Aroostook County to the rest of the grid in the state of Maine so that we'll be able to transport electricity all the way to southern New England through Bangor Hydro and Central Maine Power. So we're looking at that, and that's also, we're looking at doing some work with the province of Quebec to probably bring in some lower cost energy to Northern Maine. So as I said earlier, it all derives around the cost of doing business, and unless you lower the cost of energy, nobody is going to come to Aroostook, Maine, to Aroostook County, and pay 15 or 18 cents for electricity to run a factory. So
right.
We need to focus on that. We are working very, very closely with our farmers, with our mills. We're doing everything we can to keep the mills in Madawaska and Ashland and lumber mills working efficiently. We're working to get them cheaper power. And, of course, there's a few biomass plants up there. I'd like to see them get online, but in order to get online, we've got to make them more competitive.
Right. Well, Governor LePage, thank you so much for seeing me, and I hope to talk to you again before your term, this term is out.
Well, anytime.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.